We are in the midst, I should say actually we're at the end of lesson six of our Bible correspondence course review, in which we are amplifying the study that we have. Sorry about that. Speaking of the biblical correspondence course that we have, we're in lesson six at the end of the lesson, and in part five, we discussed how Yahshua was the sacrificial lamb. We haven't gotten to that slide yet. Yahshua was the sacrificial lamb of Yahweh, that our sacrifice is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to Yahweh that we might, and that we are living stones, those who obey Yahweh, living stones of the house of Yahweh, as it were. We also learned that they stumble who are disobedient to the word, the law of Yahweh, and even those who are not of the bloodline of Israel can now be people of Yahweh, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy in Yahshua. We discussed how Peter is writing to the pilgrims of the dispersion for the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Yahshua Messiah. We discussed how James wrote to the diaspora, the two dispersions, one in the same region of ancient Assyria, as well as those remaining in Babylon. Paul went to the dispersed in Asia Minor and Greece, and he wrote to them and Rome as well. We read how Yahweh will be known by not only bringing the children of Israel up from Egypt, but he will, this is in the future, he will bring up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands where he had driven them. He stated, "I will send for many fishermen to bring me my inheritance," which is Israel. And then Yahshua in the New Testament said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." He was referring back to Isaiah. And then we discussed that even eunuchs who keep Yahweh's Sabbaths and choose what pleases him and hold fast to his covenant, he will give in his house and within his walls a place and a name better than that of sons and daughters. He will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. The sons of the foreigner who join themselves to Yahweh to serve him and to love the name of Yahweh, to love the character, the will of Yahweh, to be his servants. Everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast his covenant, even them Yahweh will bring to his holy mountain. It is the sovereign Yahweh who gathers the outcasts of Israel and says, "Yet I will gather to him," speaking of Israel, "others beside those who are gathered to him." In 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, we found that sin is lawlessness. We learned that man shall not live by bread alone, but man will live by every word. I look at the word every, it means every. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of Yahweh. We discussed how Peter wrote about Paul, who wrote in his epistles, according to the wisdom given to him, that in some of Paul's epistles, there are some things that are hard to understand, which untaught in the Torah and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. We were warned not to fall from our own steadfastness and not to judge others. being led away with the error of the wicked, the lawless. For there is only one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. We also read that those who obey Yahweh have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. So in this final section of lesson 6, let's begin with the next question. Did Yahweh change his laws to accommodate the use of sacrificial laws? And for that, we go to Malachi 3, verses 6 and 7. For I am Yahweh, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. And here he's saying that he will honor his promises in spite of the fact that Israel did not. I do not change, therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob, in other words, Israel. Verse 7, yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says Yahweh of hosts. If we have done grievously toward our fellow man, and therefore to Yahweh, it's not too late. But don't wait long. For as we read in Revelation 22, verses 9 through 11, this is the angel speaking to John. I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship Yahweh. He said worship Yahweh because in this vision, John fell to the ground in front of him. But this angel is saying, I am one of you. Verse 10, and he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book. Do not seal the words. For the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. Those are sobering words. We have this life in which to claim understanding of who Yahweh is and what he expects from us, and then to do that. That's all there is. So in essence, and not literally, the day that Yahshua returns is the day that we die, as there will be no more opportunity to relive our lives for righteousness. For those who defy Yahweh will be unjust and filthy when raised from their graves. Those who are righteous and holy, when they die, will be risen in the same state. Righteous and holy. It is true that Yahweh, through Yahshua, is merciful and long-suffering. This is true. However, they are also righteous in their judgments. So believe in mercy, yes, but obey the commandments of Yahweh to the end. The next question in our Bible study is, the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 6:14 that we are under grace and not under the law. Is this a license to sin? Or, as is promoted today, are all of our sins forgiven, past, present, and future? Romans 6:15. Oops. What then? Shall we sin? Shall we transgress the law of Yahweh? Because we are not under law, but under grace? Paul says, certainly not. We are not to sin. We're not to transgress the law of Yahweh. How can that be any clearer? And yet people will twist that who do not understand, who have not been taught in the Torah, that under the law does not mean that we are simply looking for our salvation by obeying the law of Yahweh. We are not. Salvation does not come by doing the law, by abiding in what the law is. Salvation comes in believing in Yahshua Messiah and who he was and what he did that allows us to enter into the kingdom. However, just believing does not get us into the kingdom, and more on that later. And just reading this one verse out of Romans 6 is really not enough to understand this statement. I would encourage you to read chapters 6, 7, and 8, and I would read them here, but we don't have the time. And they would give you a clear understanding of what Paul is talking about. But you must read it setting aside all that you've learned about what these verses say. Read it for what the Bible says, what the content, in context of Paul's writings. Because if you haven't been taught in the Torah, then you rely on what the world teaches about these verses, then you will continue to be lost, I guarantee it. Is it possible now, through the Holy Spirit residing within, to keep his commandments through faith in him? In Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Therefore know that Yahweh your Elohim, he is Elohim, the faithful Elohim who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations. How long would that be? Well, if a generation is 20 years, that's 20,000 years. Okay? Seems like we've got about 13,000 more to go before. He keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. How important is it to keep his commandments? Ephesians 2, verses 1-3. And you, he made alive. Ephesus, Paul is talking to those, I believe, who some of them are, certainly, remnants of the house of Israel, the 10 tribes. When I read the word Gentiles, I think of the Hellenized house of Israel, who was scattered 700 years or more before the Messiah came, and scattered to Assyria, which is north of Israel, and even further north into Asia Minor and into Greece and into Rome. And you he made alive who were dead. Why? Because you were in trespasses and sins. You're transgressing the law of Yahweh. Verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, who is Satan. He's the prince of the air. The spirit, Satan, who now works in the sons of disobedience. So when we see people who are purposefully disobeying the law of Yahweh, we know what spirit is leading them. Verse 3, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, the wrath of Yahweh for disobeying his law, just as the others. Okay, I've recently just become very frustrated when speaking to people about the Bible, trying to help them understand what the Bible says. And I've just realized that most people have sound bites that they've absorbed from their teachers that explain to them why we're no longer under the law of Yahweh. We don't have to obey the law. But here's a random excerpt from a website, typical of thousands, called ChristianSpiritualism.org. Quite simply, I'm quoting here, the Bible shows that Mosaic law ended with the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Followers of Christ are not under the law of Moses. He did away with the law of the commandments and regulations. And he's quoting Ephesians 2, verse 15. Now, we were just reading Ephesians 2, verses 1-3, which is talking about how people who disobey the law are being led by the spirit of Satan. Same chapter. So he's quoting Ephesians 2:15. Let's take a look at that, beginning at verse 14 through 18, and see what he's talking about. Ephesians 2:14 through 18. For he himself is our peace, speaking of Yahshua, who has made both one. Okay, both? Who is he talking about? And has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the conflict, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two. We need to understand who both of these groups are. Thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to Yahweh in one body through the torture stake, thereby putting to death the enmity, the conflict. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off, that's one group, and to those who were near, that's the other group. For through him we both have access by one spirit to the Father. Okay, confusing? It certainly was to me before I was called out. Paul is talking here to the Ephesians, who are some of the remnant of the house of Israel, speaking to them, telling them that Yahshua has come. He's bringing the good news that Yahshua has come, putting an end to the law of commandments contained in ordinances. What ordinances is he talking about? Well, he's talking about the ordinances of sacrificial animals. Yahshua came. He was the sacrifice. There's no longer any more sacrifice. And Paul is reaching out to these people saying, you no longer have to kill animals for sin offerings and the like. Yahshua has come, and he is come to restore all Israel. So come back. Come back to Israel and be of Israel. That's the message here. In no way is Paul talking about the law of Yahweh given in commandments, the Ten Commandments and all the others that are in the Torah, the writings and the prophets. He's not. The focus of this Christian author's teaching is on the words abolished and the law of commandments. What he left out was the context of Ephesians 2. Paul is referring to the prophetic return of the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the 10 northern tribes being grafted into Israel. Hence the words, he himself is our peace, who has made both one. And the law being spoken of here is the law contained in ordinances pertaining to animal sacrifices, which were indeed done away with by Yahshua's sacrifice once for all. So if, as this author is saying, the law of Yahweh is dead, as promoted by Christianity, then how can there be such a thing as transgressing his law? If it doesn't exist, how can you go against it? Of which behavior is called sin. And if there is no such thing as sin, how can there be such a thing as disobedience? It can't be. If the law is done away with, then there is no sin. There is no disobedience. But everywhere we read, from Genesis to Revelation, is talking about being obedient, and those who are not obedient suffering the consequences. Genesis to Revelation is talking about that. It makes the idea that the law is dead just very silly. It can't be. How can there be such a thing as disobedience? So are you saying that everyone who is not a Christian is condemned by the law? Wait, didn't you say that the law was dead? It's been put away? Oh, I see. His law is only dead to Christians. but to anyone else? Apparently so. So Christians are exempt from the law of the creator of the universe, whose law is eternal. I see. Okay, getting back to our study, which is asking the question, is it possible now, through the Holy Spirit residing within, to keep his commandments through faith in him? Moving along in Ephesians 2, beginning at verse 4 through 7. But Yahweh, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Messiah. And then parenthetically, he says, by grace you have been saved. Helping them to understand. Verse 6, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Messiah Yahshua, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Messiah Yahshua. Verses 8 through 10 in Ephesians 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Okay? He didn't say that in the parenthetical phrase. What is faith? Okay, James is really clear about that. Your faith is dead without works. And he makes this great comparison. Picture a corpse laying there, no spirit within. A spirit, the spirit of Yahweh, goes into that corpse, can bring it to life. Yahshua did that with Lazarus. But James compares your faith with that corpse. Your faith is dead. And whereas the Spirit brings life to the corpse, what is so powerful that it would bring life to your faith? Works. Now, we're not talking about going to work 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. We're talking about righteous works, obeying the commandments of Yahweh. That is what brings life to our faith. And he quotes ancient ones and how they demonstrated their faith through their works. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Remember, faith without works of obedience is dead. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of Yahweh, not of works, that is, of animal sacrifices, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yahshua for good, and that is for righteous works. And the word good in Hebrew has a connotation of complete, which would mean obeying all of the laws of Yahweh as appropriate. We should believe on the name of his son, Yahshua Messiah, and love one another as he, Yahweh, gave us commandment. 1 John 3, verse 24. Now he who keeps his commandments, the law of Yahweh, abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. So when on Pentecost the disciples received the Holy Spirit, what was the power given to them for? What was the purpose of that? So they could obey the commandments of Yahweh. The course, the course asks the question it's number 9. With physical sacrifices in abeyance. Now, that word abeyance means postponed until another time. When is that time? In the kingdom, sacrifices will resume, presumably because people will be born, people will be living in that time who are not in the first resurrection, who need to understand what Yahshua did physically, doing the sacrifices physically. 1 Peter 2, verses 4 through 5. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men. Okay, he's speaking of Yahshua here. But chosen by Yahweh and precious. Then in verse 5 he says, you also. Okay, you also, who does that refer to? Well, he's likening us to Yahshua. You also, like Yahshua, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Yahweh through Yahshua Messiah. No more animals to sacrifice. But what is meant by spiritual sacrifices? Hebrews 13, verse 15. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to Yahweh, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, giving thanks to his character and his name. And on this idea, let me just add, names are important. The name of Yahweh, the name of Yahshua is important. It's as important as our names in a legal sense. If you're going to go and buy something that's really expensive, like a house or a car, are you going to sign someone else's name? Or are you going to sign your title, you know, head of the household? No, you're not going to do that. You're going to sign your name, because your name is what qualifies you to own whatever it is you're purchasing in this world. Yahshua purchased our souls by giving his life, by taking the stripes that were meant for us. It is under his authority that we are saved. It's not by the name of any other. It's by his name and his name only. So, we have completed lesson 6, the law of Yahweh. Let us briefly summarize what we've learned. We learned that disobeying the law of Yahweh is sin. Grace does not give us permission to sin. And the law, meaning instruction, is like a guideline, a restraint, and a manual for living. We are to obey every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. And Peter stated that lawless men would and will and have distorted Paul's teachings. We learned that sacrificial and ceremonial laws were added because of sin. There's a question mark there, but it shouldn't be. Oh, I'm sorry. On mine there is. Sacrificial and ceremonial laws were added because of sin. Believing in Yahshua without obeying Yahweh is best described as faith without works. We can learn spiritual lessons by doing physical things. Yahshua obeyed and magnified the law. The Pharisees were buried in their own man-made oral laws, and Yahweh descended to Mount Sinai when he wrote the law on two tablets of stone. Did the law exist before that? Absolutely. It existed at the time of Adam and Eve. Yahshua came to fulfill the law and send a sword. And by fulfilling the law, we do not mean ending it. He did not end the law. That would be silly. Because he says, I did not come to destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. And that word there is pleru, which means to validate, to demonstrate, to fill up fully what it means to obey the law of Yahweh. The laws contained in the Ten Commandments and in the sacrificial laws were good. The sacrificial laws were added. They were temporary and designed that way. We learned that Yahweh does not change, that the sacrificial laws were added because the people were unwilling to obey Yahweh, and Yahshua is now our high priest. In the New Testament times, the New Testament scriptures were not read in the synagogues, and a temple existed in which to offer sacrifices. Paul never referred to any verse in the New Testament when teaching people about the Messiah having come. People knew, those who studied the scripture, like the Bereans, they knew what he was talking about, and they didn't need Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Paul's writings, and all the other epistles of the New Testament. They didn't need them. We should be able to do that ourselves. And finally, we learned that Yahweh is the only lawgiver. Yahweh's law existed at the time of Adam and Eve. The sacrificial law was added because the Israelites continued to transgress Yahweh's law. And we are to obey Yahweh rather than men. And that last statement does not mean that we don't obey the laws of the land. We are. And the scripture confirms that for us, that we are to honor the king. And the king in that verse there refers to those who are governing us. Because Yahweh put them in place. He put our president in place. Even if we oppose the president, we should understand that he was put there for a reason. But I'd also caution you that Pharaoh was put there for a reason too, to amplify and to exemplify the power of Yahweh. May we continually praise Yahweh, and may we be strong in our efforts to keep the law and to do the will of Yahweh. Hallelujah.